Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Krishna and the Gopis meet for the Rasa Dance. It's a full title. Text number 17, if I'm not mistaken. Tadrishtvantikam ayat. Tadrishtvantikam ayata. Bhagavan Prajayoshitaha Avadad Vadatam Sreshto Vachaha Peshar Vimohayan Tadrishtvantikamayata Bhagavan Prajayoshitaha Avadad Vadatam Sreshto Vachaha Peshair Vimhoayan Tadri Taha Them Drishtva Seeing Antikam Nearby Ayataha Arrived. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Brajayoshitaha, the girls of Braj. Avadat, he spoke. Vadatam, of speakers. Shreshtaha, the best. Vachaha, of language. Peshai, with decorations. Vimohayan, bewildering. Seeing that the girls of Braj had arrived, Lord Krishna, the best of speakers, greeted them with charming words that bewildered their minds. Purport. Having established the spiritual nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami proceeds with his narration. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Vyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So Krishna has captured the hearts of the gopis by the playing of his flute. And his purpose is to satisfy the desires of the gopis. Krishna has many purposes, but Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, in the beginning of this chapter in the Krishna book, that Krishna remembered the or remembering the desire of the gopis when he'd stolen their clothes. That they wanted, that each of the gopis wanted him as her husband. Because Krishna is the most beautiful, the most attractive, the most of everything. That's why this word Bhagavan is used here. Bhagavan. Very important word, Bhagavan. Because it describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There can only be one Bhagavan. Although sometimes it is used to honor, sometimes it's used as an honorific to recognize or to address a very great devotee. Most often it is used to indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Person, the source of everything, the master of everyone. Just in case we forget or misunderstand Krishna's position, especially since Krishna is now performing activities that would ordinarily be reprehensible for most persons, right? Young boys and girls playing in the forest at night generally are up to no good. But in this case, especially Sukadeva Goswami has gone to lengths to preface these pastimes of Krishna with an understanding of who Bhagavan actually is. Bhagavan, full in all opulence, full of all knowledge, full of all strength, who possesses everything, who is completely renounced, and because he is full in everything, he doesn't have a need. Actually, there are no material needs in the personality of Godhead. Usually young boys are attracted to young girls because they feel a lacking, or young girls are attracted to young boys because they feel some lacking. I'm missing something in my life. That's what they feel. In other words, they're not complete. Incomplete. This is in the material world, everything is incomplete. Until it is connected with Krishna, then it's incomplete. Purnam. Krishna is complete. Purnam adha. What is it? What's the first? Om Purnam adha Purnam idam. Purnat Purnam udachate. He's full and complete. It's only us who are incomplete and feel a lacking. So this is a very important point. Krishna is not attracted to the gopis because he's feeling some lacking. In other words, these pastimes of Krishna are not at all anything like, although they appear to be, they appear in the external, are not at all like the mundane relationships between young boys and young girls in the material realm. Those kind of relationships are degrading and basically confusing. Right? Like Prabhupada says, boys are good and girls are good, but when you put them together, they become confused at least. What's going on here? What's happening to me? I can't work out what's happening. Huh? Whereas the interesting thing is, Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out, the Acharyas point out, by studying and meditating on and absorbing our consciousness in the pastimes of Krishna, sporting with the gopis is actually the most purifying. And it actually frees us from confusion. In the material realm, it's the source of all bondage. In fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that the relationships in the material world of love, so-called love, are like iron. Whereas the relationships of love between Krishna and the gopis is like gold. So there are very many similarities, but different results from the activities. By meditating on the activities of so-called love in the material world, then one just gets pain, sorrow. Actually, it's very interesting. Even on the spiritual platform, it appears that one gets sorrow also. Looks the same, but the result is the opposite, actually. The separation, that because the gopis are such great devotees, in their separation from Krishna, that just increases their absorption in thinking of him. So even because it's interesting, previously, or maybe it's a bit later on, Krishna says to the gopis, you don't need to associate with me. In fact, it's better for you to go home. Because as it's mentioned here, Bhagavan, Braja, Yoshitaha, Avadad, Vadatam, Shrestha, he's the best of all speakers. Right? Vadatam, Shrestha. Shrestha means the best of. Yadu Shrestha means the best of the Yadus. So here, Vadatam. Shrestha, the best of all speakers. So he's actually teasing them. So even it appears, because the gopis actually most of the time they're in separation from Krishna. They're young girls, he's a young boy, and so, you know, parents do their best to make sure that young boys don't hang around with young girls. So most of the time the residents of Vrindavan, not all of them mind you, but especially the elderly, they're keeping them apart. So it appears that the gopis are actually feeling the sorrow. Or separation, if you like, that's what the sorrow is. But that separation and that coming together of Radha and Krishna is the perfection of rasa or relationship. It's the epitome of purity. Because Krishna he's not attracted to the gopis because he's feeling some lack or some material desire. But rather, he's attracted to the gopis because of their love and pure affection for him and their attraction for him. And because his lila shakti, his pastime shakti, has created within him a desire to have some sporting fun with the beloved, with his beloved devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, especially in this case, because we're seeing here. This is the culmination of all of the different pastimes of Krishna. We're seeing the relationship between Radha and Krishna and the gopis and Krishna as the topmost of all of the different rasas. The topmost of all of the different relationships that anybody can have is exemplified and is now to be manifest here. So it's the opposite of the material, although it appears the same. It appears the same. And that's why in a previous purport is mentioned that does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease that was caused by that very same thing? There's a verse quoted from the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. In the sense that, yes, the material affairs of boys and girls causes trouble, but the spiritual affairs of boys and girls can cure us. So long as we understand. So therefore Bhagavan is described. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Personality of Godhead who's full in everything, who doesn't have material desires, is not materially motivated, but he's motivated out of a desire actually to please his devotees. This is the amazing thing. Krishna, the devotees, what do they want to do? They want to please Krishna. And what does Krishna want to do? He wants to serve his devotees. So he's thinking, oh, the moon is full, the breeze is just right, the forest is a perfect setting, right? The fragrance of the different flowers and so forth in the breeze is invigorating. Now is the perfect time for having some fun in the forest, for enjoying in the forest. But before he's about to engage in the rasa dance, this Vadatam Shrestha, the best of all speakers, he's going to tease the gopis, right? Because the first thing he says, "What are you doing here? This is an extremely dangerous place." Of course, the gopis are thinking, what do you mean, what are we doing here? Because Krishna knows full well that they've all come because he was playing his flute, especially just to attract them. And this is the beauty of the gopis. It's the beauty of the devotion of the devotees, actually, any devotee, is that when they hear the call, when they hear Krishna's call, then they can't stop themselves from coming to Krishna. Nothing will stop them. Even if there are impediments, even if there are impediments for a devotee, when a devotee is attracted to Krishna, then nothing can stop them. Nothing will stop them. Even if there appear to be some obstacles or difficulties in the path of their Krishna consciousness, even if a devotee is having some difficulty, still they're attracted to Krishna's call. So of course, Krishna knew why the gopis were there, because he called them to come. But then just to enhance the, you know, this is the nature, the loving exchanges between boys and girls, is there some teasing. Right? Just to test the affection of the other. So Krishna, in very endearing words, is going to demonstrate his renunciation. He's demonstrating his renunciation. The young girls of Braj, very, very attractive, the most attractive girlfriends of Krishna have come, but he's going to tease them with very sweet and pleasant speeches. Vachaha peshai vimohayan, with bewildering instructions. On the one hand, he's playing his flute, captured their hearts, their minds, their thoughts. So they've given up everything. The gopis really are the epitome of surrender. Because in one sense, the qualification of a young girl is, or the best qualification of a young girl is her chastity. Right? Her reputation. If a young girl is known to just run off into the night with a young boy, then, you know, that's almost ruination, especially in the Vedic culture. It's the worst thing you could do. Then nobody will want to talk, nobody will want to know you if you're just having some casual relationships. Then nobody will have anything to do with you. You may be infamous, infamous as a loose girl, but nobody will have anything to do with you in a serious way. But the gopis didn't care, even though they were, it's described, at home with their husbands or with their children, already married, some of them. Right? You know, they risked complete rejection of their whole society, which is what happens sometimes when you become a devotee, right? You become a devotee and then everybody thinks you've gone crazy. That's what happened to me. Since my friends found out that I was going to the Hare Krishna temple, that was it. They didn't have anything to do with me anymore. You soon find out who your friends are. Your parents think you've gone crazy, right? They'll come all the way from India here to check out to see what you're doing. What are you up to? Is he all right? Better go and check his pulse out. Right? See if the cult leader hasn't got him under control. Right? It's almost like social life finished when you become a Hare Krishna. That's it, finished. What's that noise? That is somebody's phone. It's an under. See, we're so attuned to our phones, we can hear them vibrating in somebody else's pocket. Even if we turn them off. So the gopis gave up everything. Sarva dhamam parityaja. But Krishna says, sarva dhamam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Gopis didn't care for social convention or reputation, position, Or even if you can see it, even any sort of sense of security. You know, they gave up all of these things just to be with Krishna. They'll give up anything to serve Krishna. This is pure devotion. This is why the gopis are so attractive, because they're prepared to give up everything, anything, just to render service as a pure devotee. And that, of course, that pure devotion attracts Krishna. That's what Krishna is really. Krishna is churning that devotion, if you like, that devotional mood or that devotional attitude of the gopis by, first of all, he's calling them so they come running, and then he says, what are you doing here? You should go home. To demonstrate the purity of the gopis, you know, it's interesting. You know, when I came to Krishna consciousness, then my understanding of who God was very much tinged with impersonalism. You know, that liberation. The idea of liberation is that one becomes one with God, right? So then I was reading the Nectar of Devotion at my friend's place. I think, oh, what's that? What are the Hare Krishnas on about? I'll check. And then I got all these stories about these little boys playing in the forest. I was thinking, hey, what's this? And the Nectar of Devotion says, you know, this is the highest perfection. And I think, the little boys playing in the forest? What's that got to do with spiritual life? Spiritual life means, you know, yogis sitting in the Himalayas, meditating and just, you know, merging with everything. It's a kind of liberation. So it's hard. It's actually not easy. It requires a great deal of depth of understanding of what it means to be actually advanced in spiritual life. Liberation, it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion how liberation is waiting to serve the devotees. They're automatically liberated. And in fact, the kind of liberation, the sayujya, you know, merging with, becoming one with God, is rejected by the devotees, because there's no relationship. Actually, there's no manifestation and demonstration of relationship. Of course, people, when they're introduced to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and his friends and the residents of Vrindavan, then it's difficult for them to appreciate the spiritual characteristics and the spiritual nature of those relationships. Because, you know, our experience in the material world is relationships are all painful. Right? And so therefore we want to become, you know, we want to merge with everything, and so wipe out, erase any sense of relationship, because it's all so painful. I was listening to a class, one of the early classes that Prabhupada was giving at 26 Second Avenue, and he gave the example. He said, anybody can become liberated like that. Krishna can do anything, and he'll provide that facility for somebody who wants to extinguish themselves. He can do that. But then he probably gives a fairly sort of... But he says, it's a bit like a child wanting, you know, having been born and then experiencing painful relationships and wanting to go back into the womb of his mother. Huh? Because in the womb of our mother we don't have any problems. Everything is, you know, everything is provided for us. You can do that. But actually that's not the highest form of of liberation. But these pastimes that were about, well, this particular set of these three or four chapters here, actually, they're the emblem of the highest level of spiritual advancement that a person can come to. Personalities for whom liberation remains waiting to serve. So that, you know, the gopis are very exalted personalities, worshipable, and Krishna is now going to tease them to demonstrate, to illustrate that their complete surrender to him, and that their mood is, even though it appears apparently they're just young girls wanting to go and enjoy with the young boy, actually their motivation is not selfish, but rather their motivation is to serve Krishna. They're the emblem of the highest mood of service to Krishna. And so Krishna wants to demonstrate that for our benefit, so that by meditating on these pastimes we'll become purified of our impersonal tendencies, and also purified of our material, of our inclinations to enjoy things on the material platform. You know, as it's mentioned previously by Kudananda Maharaj in one of the purports, you know, they think that they've become one with God, and so then all of their activities are spiritual. Huh? But it is not at all like the activities of the materialists are not at all, even though they may appear to be similar, they're not at all like those that have been demonstrated by Krishna and the gopis. This is the highest exchanges between the Lord, his internal energy, yoga maya, and his topmost devotees. So we'll see. So, having established the spiritual nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami proceeds with his narration. So tomorrow we'll read about, we'll hear of how Krishna is teasing the gopis with his speech. Shrestha Vadatam Shrestha Vachaha Peshaya Vimohayan, with tricky teasing. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, sir.
You said that we should meditate on the talks and the way things go about the past time to shift your own Krishna.
No, not necessarily, because you know, sometimes we say no speculation, don't be a speculator, right? But at the same time we encourage philosophical speculation. But when we say philosophical speculation, Prabhupada explains that we can hear the Bhagavad Gita, we can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. There may be parts of it that we don't understand, but we can meditate about it. We can hear some more and then meditate on that, and by considering and thinking about and investigating further, we can actually come to an understanding of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Actually, it's not that difficult to understand. It isn't very difficult. It's not as if the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are beyond our reach. They're not.
You're saying that love is easy to understand us in material world because we're suffering so much.
Yes.
Any relief from our misery is what we think is happiness.
Yes.
So happiness is relief is confused with happiness. And when we make it happen, we confuse that with love.
Yes.
And in the material world, love's very conditional.
Yeah, it certainly is.
So
it's not only that, it's temporary.
It's very hard for us. Yeah. We misconstrue relief with happiness and happiness with love. And while someone's making us happy, we think we're in love. But then if they're not making us happy, all of a sudden, I don't love you anymore.
Yeah.
So it's very, very hard for somebody who doesn't actually understand what love is for us to meditate on the purest form of love.
Yeah, it may be difficult, but it's not. What I mean is our process is not very difficult. We hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and then we meditate and conjecture or speculate, if you like, think about, basically what it means is think about what we've heard and then assimilate it, right? So the process is not difficult.
Would we be not better off taking our lack of understanding to Krishna and asking him, meditating on him and asking him to bring us to understand what we can?
Well, you can.
Rather than trying to understand it ourselves.
Yeah, my realization is that it's not that difficult to understand if we just simply hear the philosophy. In fact, the acharyas make it's elevated, but not difficult to understand, because it's quite logical. Like what we teach is not illogical, and actually the principles of devotion are quite simple, and we tend to complicate things because it is so simple. Is that all it is? It's got to be more than that. So the process is: hear the pastimes, meditate on them, accept them. How hard is that? No, but these aren't... No, okay, inconceivable is one thing. A tincture. But you can know Krishna. Prabhupada says, you can know Krishna. Yes, and you know what it says at the end of that verse? Tat Srinu. Seventh chapter, is it? Am I right? Yes. Tat Srinu. What does that mean? Just here. That's how hard it is. That's how hard it is to understand our philosophy. All you have to do is listen to it. And if you don't understand it, listen some more. Because, actually, it is not, you know, this is why sometimes the Gyanis will criticize the Bhakti yogis. Because they just listen to simple philosophy. And they're not studying the Vedanta. And, you know, all sorts of word jugglery. In fact, it's interesting, isn't it? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was extremely learned, had tens of thousands of disciples, spoke to Lord Chaitanya for 7 days on the Vedanta Sutra, telling him, you're a young sannyasi, you need to understand all of these things. At the end of 7 days, Lord Chaitanya hadn't said anything. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was quizzical. He was thinking, you know, well, maybe he's not understanding. He asked Lord Chaitanya, you know, what is there anything wrong? And Lord Chaitanya says, well, when I read the Vedanta Sutra, it's all very clear to me, but what you're talking about just seems to be complicating the issue. Right? So our philosophy actually is very simple. And all it requires is, Krishna mentions, is submissive hearing. It just requires a submissive ear. And then if one hears and receives it correctly, then one can meditate on that. And gradually, you know, by chanting, by rendering of service, especially these two items, because chanting is service, right? And then by putting that into practice, by doing something practical, rendering service to the spiritual master, Krishna's representative, and in that way serving Krishna, then actually what happens is Krishna reveals himself. So yes, if there's something that we don't understand, we can petition Krishna, or we can ask the spiritual master for clarification, or we can ask the devotees for clarification. And then Krishna will reveal himself. There's a story of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who a well-educated gentleman came to see him. He wanted to ask him some questions. And this story goes something like this. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, you know, tell him that I'm busy for the moment, I'll speak to him later, but he can go and help the pujari. So the man went off and helped the pujari cleaning the paraphernalia, the puja paraphernalia, and then in the process of cleaning the puja paraphernalia he became purified as a result of that. And when he was asked to come back to see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said, it's alright, my questions have been answered. So just by doing the service, then he got the inspiration from within. So it is very interesting how the process of self-realization actually works. Very interesting how it actually works. And there is inquiry, there is submissive hearing, but then if we're not understanding something, then very often by rendering of service, it is then revealed. And over time, may not be immediate, but over a period of time, as we become purified, as we work for Krishna, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi jogam tam jainamam upayanti te. Very nice verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 10. 9 or 10? 10. Chapter 10. Is it? Oh, chapter 10, text 10. There you go. To those who are constantly engaged in devotional service, tesham satata yuktanam. Satatam, satata means sada, always. Yuktanam means always engaged in service. Then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Right? And then he says, tesham evanukampartam mahamma jnana jamtamaha nasyam yakma bhavasto jnana dipena basvata. Out of compassion, because Krishna likes his devotees. Right? Well, that's what satatam yuktanam means. Sincerity is demonstrated by doing service. You know, like Jananda humorously described the other day, you know, we're meditating on Krishna, but Krishna says, I'm hungry, I want something to eat. Right? No, I'm meditating on you. I'm your devotee. I like you. And I'm meditating on you. No, I want something to eat. Right? So, you know, Krishna likes practical demonstrations of devotion through service rather than showy displays of deep meditation. To be honest, practical demonstrations of devotional service rather than some big display of, you know, big bead bag with big beads, right? Or a big seeker. Interesting. That's these are the tests, actually, of devotion. Devotional. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's called service. So Prabhupada says many times, you know, the pure devotees, all they want to do is render service. All they want to do is render service. And of course that requires some practice, but then through the service, then Krishna will reveal himself. And as Tesham Evana come, but out of feeling compassionate for them, when Krishna sees that the devotee wants to render service, then he reveals himself. It's like here, the gopis want to render service to Krishna. That's their Krishna is their whole is their whole existence, if you like. And they're coming running to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. That's their whole desire. And so therefore Krishna is satisfying them by playing his flute and calling them into the forest at midnight in autumn, very beautiful time of the year in Vrindavan, because it's cooled off, the heat of the summer has dissipated and the monsoon has finished. It's a very pleasant time in Vrindavan, beautiful time. So that's why our process is a not very complicated one. And Krishna says, you know, okay, he's inconceivable in one sense. We say inconceivable, but knowable. We can know Krishna. Otherwise, if we can't, what's the point? Too hard. Actually, sometimes devotees can become discouraged. Actually, I have a friend of mine who is an eccentric. He's quite an eccentric character in many ways. But he had cancer last year. Had cancer and had an operation. Came to Melbourne, and I was talking to him, and I asked him, you know, hey, are you chanting? He says, nah, done that, didn't work. So sometimes, you know, devotees become despondent and discouraged when they find that they've been chanting for some time and there's still material desires and still material obstacles. And out of pride, sometimes we think, hey, Krishna, what's going on here? How come I'm not a pure devotee? Huh? I say that's Krishna's mercy. Krishna reveals himself and he also reveals ourselves to us. It's just that we get a shock when we realize who we are. That's me. I thought I was a devotee. Now I discover I'm not. So sometimes it appears that understanding Krishna is difficult, right? It's hard. It appears difficult because Krishna is revealing some unpleasant things. And so then we become discouraged. We think, oh, it's not working. I'm not making any advancement. Krishna consciousness doesn't work. But actually it is working. It's just this is the there are different stages in devotional service that one has to go through, and one of them is the clearing stage of chanting Hare Krishna. And that'll that'll test your sincerity. But again, how is our sincerity tested? By continuing to render service to Krishna despite the fact that we're already, you know, gives the example, you know, our hearts are like a lump of coal. And when you scrub coal, what happens? Black. Yeah, it just gets, you get a mess. So, you know, but Krishna is also very kind to the devotees also. One shouldn't give up hope. One should always stay in the association of the devotees. And then and continue to render service. This is the key. The key is the service attitude. Then Krishna will feel he's compassionate to the devotees. He will protect them. Anything else? Yes. Prasavalasini. That's right. Good point. Yes, good point.
It's not understandable and
conceivable. Yes, and what happens is, you see, Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. That's what he says. I reveal myself through the lamp of knowledge. I reveal myself to the devotees. So from a material point of view, you know, from the material point of view, we've just got some wood and some stone and some metal on the altar. Right? From the material point of view. But from the devotional point of view, Krishna is personally present. And one has to render, and when one renders service to the deity, for example, then Krishna reveals himself. Actually, I am Krishna. Radha-Balabha reveal themselves as the protector of the devotees. The shelter of the devotees, especially if we render service very attentively to them. Right? Devotional service means being attentive and paying attention to the details. Then Krishna reveals himself and protects, shelters. You know, Prabhupada makes a comment, he says, he'd be so foolish just to worship a piece of a lump of stone. Prabhupada makes a comment, you know, we're spending lakhs of rupees worshipping a piece of stone. He's so stupid. No. Krishna's here. And he's looking after us. We think we're looking after him. Oh, Krishna, no, we've got to do more service. But actually, he's looking after us. And revealing himself. So that's a nice point. Good point. Not by our endeavours, but by Krishna's mercy, he reveals himself. Although, there has to be some endeavour on the part of the devotee. That is our sincere desire to render service.
Is that the last of the pastimes? Like, is that like the topmost pastime in the temple?
This one here?
Like, after you've been there, or every other sort of pastime in the temple?
No, Krishna's activities are variegated, so there are so many pastimes that we can meditate on. And in fact, you know, the rasa dance is sort of in the beginning of the 10th canto. But it's not so much last, it's not last in one sense as if there's an end, right? But rather it's a demonstration of a relationship which is very sweet and intimate and is very elevated. So it's considered to be these pastimes are a demonstration of the sweetest, most intimate, confidential, it's very confidential information. And so in that sense, you know, last, you know, the end, the culmination, if you like, or the epitome, a demonstration of the finest and purest love. The end, if you like. Not the end, because it doesn't end.
No.
It doesn't end. It's not the last. But the topmost. All right. Anything else? Kanjavachinat Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.